Elena Barbera is an average American mother turned unlikely filmmaker with her new documentary, American Groomer. I've invited her to join me on the show today because this woman is off the bench and onto the battlefield. American Groomer tells the story of how American children are being sexualized in their schools, how it came to pass that 39 states, it's legal to show porn to school children and what can be done about it, and all of it's free. You can watch her amazing documentary at AmericanGroomerFilm.com. I want to warn you that this is an adult content conversation. We aren't going to be pulling any punches about what's happening in our schools. So you might not want to have your kids listening to this episode, but it's so important that we understand and get involved. And Elena is a superstar in my book for what she's doing. You guys, this is going to be a great conversation. I hope you enjoy it. Stick around. I think you're going to be encouraged. So Elena, welcome to the Heidi St. John podcast. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you, Heidi.
Let's jump right into this because we got a crisis in our country right now. 39 states say it's legal to show pornography to children in schools and in libraries. My friend Karen England was on the show with me last week. She runs a website called The Kitchen Table Activist, and what she's doing is working very, very hard to get parents engaged in what's happening in our schools, right? The hijacking of our young people. It's happening right in front of us. You know, teachers who are, you know, not really even teachers, they're activists disguised as teachers who've come into all the areas of the culture and they're injuring our children. The American Library Association, Human Rights Campaign, Planned Parenthood, and CECUS are all providing overtly obscene and gender affirming content to children, starting as young as pre-kindergartners. You rightly pointed out in your notes to me that Senators Barbara Lee and Cory Booker are working to provide federal funding for sex ed in elementary school. I have been fighting against this now for almost a decade in my state. Here in Washington, what we're seeing happen to our children is absolutely an abomination. It needs to be stopped. You're an ordinary mother, and you have now gotten into the business of filmmaking, which is crazy to me. Tell me a little bit about your story, kind of what got you off the bench and onto the battlefield.
I like how you put it that way, because that's how I feel. I feel like I've been sitting at my kitchen table like everyone in America, screaming at the TV for 5 years or more and feeling helpless because there are so many battles that need to be fought. This one, though, just kept coming at me, and I'm a mother. And, you know, I do believe that our children's innocence is you know, just absolutely a right that they should be able to live innocent lives as children, because life, you know, we know what happens when you grow up, it gets tough.
Right.
And so I'm seeing the transgender thing coming at me and I start researching it. And then I'm hearing about book bans on the mainstream media. And are these, you know, right-wing Nazi fascists are trying to ban books.
Right. The people that are trying to protect the kids are the ones they demonize.
Right. And so I thought, I want to look into these books myself. And so I did. I purchased some of these books. And the things I saw in them, I am a middle-aged woman, and the things that I saw in them made me cringe and blush, and it made me very uncomfortable to talk about. Now I am out talking to them about it, and I went around up and down the East Coast and talked to people on the street showing them this stuff. And, you know, even I've been groomed from being uncomfortable about it to being comfortable talking about it as an adult. But really, you know, so I was at the kitchen table with a bunch of family last summer, and I was telling them about this, and I got pushback from people in my family who have different political views than me, and they didn't believe me. They thought I was lying, that I was making up, you know, I was watching
that
some
you're
right-wing
conspiracy theorist. Yeah. All
you know
the
what
things.
I'm saying? Yeah. Like, where are you getting this? What crazy channel are you watching
on
YouTube?
No one would do that. Right.
And I realized, and then when I talked to people even who would admit that it was happening, they would say, yeah, but it's not happening in my town. That would never happen here. And I realized that people have no idea how pervasive this
and
problem
is. Yeah, it's ubiquitous now, right? It's literally everywhere. Where is your town?
So we moved from Boston about a year and a half ago. But so Boston was where I raised my son. And the school where he went from kindergarten to the sixth grade is teaching kindergartners about their gender and how their parents may have gotten it wrong when they were born.
That's the other thing, right? They demonize parents, right? So your poor stupid parents, they just didn't know that there's 400 genders. And so, of course, they assigned you a gender at birth when they when they're dumb enough to look at, you know, what was between your legs and just, you know, misgender you, right? They're turning the parents into the bad guy.
Right. That, and when you're doing that in pre-K, that's the first brick in the wall of grooming that you put between a child and a parent, because that's what grooming is. I mean, and we're seeing this throughout the country where when it comes to the gender stuff and the sexuality stuff, they're saying, no, parents don't have a right to ask questions of the school. They're telling teachers, some teachers have gotten fired for saying, I'm not lying to parents in different places around the country. I know it. And they're trying very hard to build this wall so that children are then hypersexualized and they don't have any protectors anymore. Yep. And that is the exact opposite of what childhood should look like. And it's coming down from the White House. Like I said, like you mentioned, the American Library Association, which is in all 50 states.
Oh, yeah. I've been screaming about those guys. Yep. And by the way, people need to understand this. Just because you have a library in your city doesn't mean it needs to be a member of the American Library Association. It's a membership organization, just like any other membership organization. Find out if your library is a part of the National Library Association. And if it is, there is pornography in your library for little kids. I guarantee it.
Yes, in the children's section.
Yeah.
Because they're actively pushing it.
That's right.
Yes. So what people don't understand is, you know, one, this has been going on for decades. Two, there's also decades of research that shows that grooming children leads to sexual abuse, which leads to massive trauma, suicide attempts, all kinds of health problems and drug use and all that down the road. People don't necessarily, you know, still over in a place where they like trust their government and they trust the Department of Education and they don't believe that they're involved in it, but they are. And, you know, like the White House with the Equality Act, they keep pushing it and pushing it. The Equality Act will allow any man or woman, regardless of their gender identity, to go in any dressing room, locker room, or restroom. So your grandmother, your little daughter can be standing in a locker room naked with a grown man.
It's amazing, right?
From the White House.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And these people are corrupt. And I guess, you know, I spoke, you know, last week or whenever it was about the stupid, you know, Trans Day of Visibility, where Joe Biden was like, it's not Easter now, it's Trans Day of Visibility. And no one will convince me that that wasn't purposeful on their part. Nobody will. These people are evil. And I think until, you know, more and more people start to go, no, stop, what are you doing? I mean, particularly as it relates to the sexualization of our children. And you went really from just an ordinary mom, right, to a filmmaker when you decided to expose this stuff and create a documentary around it. What, Elena, what happened inside your little brain to make you go, I think I'm going to make a movie?
I prayed about it.
Come on.
I prayed about it. So, because I don't know how, whatever made me want to make a movie about this. And I just started doing the research, you know, other than it coming to me after a prayer and said, get this, put this together. And I started doing the research and seeing the most vulgar things. I mean, I'm talking about explicit conversations on anal masturbation, like full directions. Like this belongs in a middle school with 11-year-olds. Mm-hmm. One book that directs children to a website called kink.com, which is the most violent S&M, like vulgar material I have ever seen in my life. Mm. Not that I've seen a lot, but you know, it's disturbing. I mean, things like that, you know, talking about sex toys and make sure you find your favorite porn stars and STDs, no biggie. Most of them are treatable. Like literally those words, no biggie, are in one of these books.
No biggie. Wow.
No biggie. I mean, they talk about abortion, like it's getting a cavity filled, and so on and so on. So seeing all that, you know, researching all that and then researching sex abuse and researching how the FBI defines grooming and what they think of it and all the research that went into that and the history of why when children really started to become sexualized in America, and it all just crystallized into a story. And I was able to get some really good interviews with some people who were on the forefront of this, like Terry Schilling from the American Principles Project and Mary McAllister, who's a lawyer, a major lawyer in the fight for parental rights in this country right now as schools and, you know, cities are trying to strip parents of their rights to their children. I got the head of Gays Against Groomers because the gay community is even turning on this and saying, absolutely not. This is never what we wanted. However you feel about the gay community, they are standing up and saying, this is not us. We just wanted legal rights. We don't want anything to do with children.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
So I got these different perspectives of these experts in this film. And it was amazing that they opened doors to me because I'm not a journalist. I'm not calling from, you know, Fox or CNN or, you know, well-established show at all. It was all God. God just saying that these are the people that belong in this fight with you. And now I know Karen England and we're doing some work together also. Because I made this film to wake people up and it's doing it and it's getting out there. You know, you can't, if you make a Hollywood film or an HBO level documentary, they spend more on lunch.
It's so true.
For one day than I spent on this entire film.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's getting out there. It's amazing. Yeah. It's, you know, it is truly God's work telling, you know, waking people up because they don't know how bad it is. And they have to know it is in their city. It is in their schools. And their children are in serious danger. And they have to know that, you know, it is an option to homeschool your children. Even if you're a working parent, you can put kids in pods with other parents and, you know, and create a moving schedule for the kids. I grew up thinking homeschooling was weird, you know, and homeschoolers were going to be socially awkward and, oh, we don't want to hang out with them. Like, that's just what I heard growing up. Mm-hmm, and I see now that those are the kids who are, like, the data shows they outperform their public school peers. They on standardized testing, in scholarships, in college admissions, you know, and they're perfectly well adjusted socially. And when you think about the poison indoctrination that's happening to our children in the schools, how could you not pull your kids out? And I encourage every parent to really take a hard look at what's going on.
Yeah, you can't. I think the days of us, you know, turning a blind eye to this thing and just pretending like it's not the crisis that it is just have to be over at this point. And for parents, you know, Karen and I were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, and we have been, you know, fighting, some of us, on the front lines of this for a very long time. I mean, I decided to homeschool my kids after, you know, just kind of seeing what was happening in the schools. And this is 25 years ago.
Wow.
When you could sort of see the handwriting on the wall. But what I pulled my daughter out of 25 years ago pales in comparison to what these kids are being targeted with now. I mean, the month of June is coming up and these kids are going to be assaulted in every way, emotionally and spiritually, when they're in school. And it's certainly true for every I think government school across the board. People will say, well, it's not in my small town. It is in small town America. It's in small town America. It's in your little town. It's in your red state. And parents need to wake up because this isn't relegated anymore to liberal leftist leaning cities, is it?
Not even close. Well, if you look at the teachers that are coming out of college, they're coming out of college completely indoctrinated. They are ready. They are there yeah, for social justice. They're not there to teach your kids.
Yeah, they're not there to teach to see if we can raise the math scores of fifth graders in your school. That's not why they're there.
Nope. They're there for climate change, for DEI, for sexualization of your children and making sure, I mean, you go into some of these classrooms and it's just rainbow and pastel flags all over the place. Mm-hmm. Where we grew up, there were founding fathers. There were math formulas.
Right, you know, right. Yeah.
And, you know, maps, yeah, maps to learn
maps.
Geography.
My goodness. Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe learning about different countries and cultures. And now it is all about division and labeling children based on their skin color and who they're sexually attracted to. And why any sicko needs to know who a first grader is sexually attracted to is beyond me.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it as a battle of good and evil at this point. because I can't, there is no really good moral explanation.
Well, people keep saying it, you know, it's left versus right. And in many cases, politically speaking, it is left versus right. But at the end of the day, if you boil it down, it's good versus evil, up versus down. We're well beyond, oh, this is political. No, this is wickedness. It is wickedness at the highest level, and it is being levied against our children. You say that you were really kind of just this average American mother turned into a filmmaker because of what you saw happening to the kids and the sexualization that the National Educators Association is foisting into the schools and onto children. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of curious, as you look to see the impact, and I hope people will watch it. They can watch the whole film, right? At AmericanGroomerFilm.com, AmericanGroomerFilm.com. People can go there. They can watch the whole thing. The left used to say in this country, remember probably the 80s, I would see, bumper stickers, resist authority. And if you're not angry, you're not paying attention. Well, I'm just kind of there now. Like, if you're not angry, you're not paying attention. These are our children. What do you hope American Groomer is going to accomplish? If you could just say, this is my highest aspiration, the thing I'm praying that this film does, what would it be?
I want our presidential candidate to see this film and tell people to watch it, because I know that once people actually see for themselves what's happening in the schools and they believe it, this will become an election issue. Because this will become, people will look around and start asking questions of their own schools and saying, is this in here? Is my kid being subjected to this? Because we're all too busy. We're all on autopilot. We've all gotten very lazy in this country.
That's true.
And we're all just, I voted, so I did my civic duty. No, you didn't. Yeah. I'm sorry. That was the worst thing they ever convinced people of, that was all we needed to do. Yep. We need to do more. So my dream is that this becomes an election issue and enough people see this and they go and they stand up against their school boards and their cities. It's everywhere in this country, even in small towns, but in major cities, it is really prevalent. And it's almost worse there because we're talking about so many more children, the volume of children in a city like New York or Boston who are being groomed. And ultimately that leads to children sexually abusing each other. That leads to children being vulnerable to predators online and in person, much more vulnerable and easier prey for a sex trafficker. Mm-hmm. This kid's already groomed. Mm-hmm. This kid already knows all the moves. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All I got to do now is just, buy him an ice cream. It really is
so
that
true.
Crazy. I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah.
So I want this to be an election issue. I want people to have watch parties. It's free. I made it free. I put this thing together, just me and my editor.
And you're not independently wealthy. That's the other thing I want people to hear. There's a lot of people out there in Hollywood and other places making movies that are just garbage movies. You actually put your money, your time, your heart and soul into this thing to help move the needle and wake people up to the sexualization of children. And I think, if everybody that was listening to this reached out to the Trump campaign and said, watch this movie, will you address it? I think you'd actually see it move the needle, because the reality is Trump, and I met President Trump. I had the opportunity to speak to him. And I think that he genuinely cares about our children and what is happening to our children. But most of these guys are too scared to make it a federal and national issue. And I hope that Trump has the courage to do it. He needs to do it. This is a crisis. I have said for a long, long time, this is the crisis of our generation. It absolutely is. It's here. It's at the front door. And we have the opportunity to do something about it. And I think people should start sending this link to President Trump's campaign. And eventually it's going to get his attention, because he wants to win. It's Trump. That's what we're talking about here. But I think you have the opportunity, for those of you who are listening, to be a part of this change, because I think for the most part, even though I've been sounding the alarm for a long time, I think that the average American is still pretty clueless as to just how bad the situation has become. Do you agree?
I absolutely agree. Every day I'm facing people who just don't, if you get off Twitter, on Twitter, people seem to know what's going on. You get off Twitter and go out into the real world. I talk to people and I'll be like, oh, did you hear about this? And they're like, no, I don't know. Again, people are overwhelmed.
Yeah.
They're seeing most people are seeing the big headlines, you know, like crazy immigration, city and state budgets being crushed because they're providing for the immigrants and taking away city services or citizen services, I should say, all those things. But they really aren't in the granular detail and understanding how bad it's gotten. And when I start to really talk to people, you can wake them up a little bit, but most people don't want to be woken up. A lot of people just say, I can't handle it. I'm just going to go home and live my life.
Right.
And we see that. And those people, well, we'll just save them and fine, we'll do the work and whatever. Like, I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to wake up people that want no part of it, that emotionally can't handle the hard stuff, because that's part of the problem. But that's okay. We will wake people up. Yeah. And, I say to people, if I can make this film, and yes, I am not independently wealthy. Like it was painful, like financially, but I put it out. I made it free, even though, it would be nice to have the money back. I made it free because it is that crucial that people know what's happening. If I can do this, if I can learn how to interview people, literally by watching other professional journalists and taking notes, that's what I did. I mean, crazy. And if I could do that, you can get into a fight. Pick a fight. If it's not the children, maybe it's immigration, maybe it's crime in your town, maybe it's education in general. Pick a fight in this country and get involved.
Yeah.
You can do it with nothing. With whatever skills you have and the shirt on your back, you can make a difference. And I really pray that people will get moving, because we have gotten so, so spoiled by freedom and luxury in this country.
Yeah, it's made us indifferent. What would happen if every ordinary mom and dad got off the bench, got onto the battlefield, they engaged in this, and we started showing up at our school board meetings, showing up at the American Library Association meetings, just going into our libraries and just saying, hey, we're not going to be coming anymore. We're not going to, next library bond you want, we're going to make sure you guys never get another dime, right? If you start talking to these people about what is happening to our children and how you are planning to fight back against it, they would start to listen, but it's going to take all of us.
Well, everyone's a little bit still drives me crazy. People are still afraid of getting canceled.
Yeah.
Or, Gen X, we were the we're not going to take it generation. Do you remember that song? We were tough. We were, like some of us went through headbanging phases and this and that. And here we are saying things like, I don't want to rock the boat, or, I'm only 5 years from retirement. I can't mess with my pension. So, but, these things, man, they're going to feel like nothing compared to when we completely lose our country. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to tell people that, like, think of the big picture. We're losing everything while you're holding on to, not rocking the boat with the neighbors. Come on.
Right. No, it's absolutely true. I'm wondering if I loved your tagline, the kids are not all right. And it's true. And I keep telling people, you guys need to pay attention, because these are tomorrow's leaders, tomorrow's doctors, tomorrow's lawyers, tomorrow's judges. These are tomorrow's parents. And we're messing them up. We're messing them up to where they're not going to be able to have normal relationships. They're not going to understand boundaries, because they've been taught not to have any. Right. And so we have allowed ourselves really to get to this point. And it's going to take every one of us to move the needle back to sanity. It's going to take prayer. We're coming up to the month of June. And I wonder what you think about this, Elena, because I've been, praying about it and just sort of thinking, how the month of June has really been hijacked by the alphabet mafia in this country. And everywhere you go, we have to hear about people's sex lives in the month of June. It's just such a frustrating thing. But we could actually push back against that by churches and people getting together and praying and actually petitioning and using the month of June to bring awareness to how our children are being assaulted by this radical agenda that seeks to destroy our children. And I think we could make a change.
I love that idea. I love a June takeover.
Yeah.
That is wonderful.
I mean, they took it, right? Why can't we take it back?
Let's come up with a name, Heidi, and let's start something.
I really do
like that idea. We need it. And, I'll tell just one little thing that I suggest you do and everybody does in June. All the companies that you get are on their email lists, last June, every time I got an email from any company about Pride, unsubscribe.
Yeah.
I dropped out of them and I unfollowed them on social media, and I'm being really serious with my dollars. Mm-hmm, because I'm trying to, you know, do what every single little thing I can to push back and, you know, to put my energy into positive things like, you know, protecting our kids. So yeah, if we can come up with a way to take June back, maybe somebody already did it and we just need to put some fire under it and shine some light on it. I really love that idea.
I do too. We should talk to Karen about it, because I bet you anything, you know, she's got access to some amazing platforms, and so do I, and so do you. And I just think, boy, people who are listening to this, I would love to hear from you. Let's hear from our listeners. What ideas do you guys have that we can actually take back the month of June and not let it be, you know, hijacked anymore? Because really it's been hijacked. It's just been hijacked, and we've let it happen. We let it happen. And I think we have an opportunity to say, yeah, hey, no more. I mean, I haven't been to Target in 8 years.
Eight? Wow, that's impressive. So I really only, last June, when they went with the tuck-friendly swimsuits and all the Pride stuff for the children is when I haven't been. But 8 years, why 8 years ago?
Well, so Target's been pushing this agenda for a really long time. I don't know if you remember back in 2016 when Barack Obama was like, you know, his bathroom mandate and all of that stuff was happening. Target's been ahead of the curve. Target's had Pride gear in their stores for a very long time. I mean, they just recently did the tuck-friendly monstrosity that actually got them national attention. But they've also said that their bathrooms are open to any person of any gender for any reason, which makes them, I'm sorry, unsafe. It makes them unsafe. And then when parents like me started to complain and said, oh, hey, no, we don't want to do that, they basically said, don't care. I'm like, okay, that's fine. If you don't care, I don't care either. I just will stop shopping it. I'm breaking up with you, Target. I just broke up with them, which is very sad, because Target and I had a very wonderful relationship for a long
time. We had a good relationship too. Yeah, but it's fine.
It's time. It's it's absolutely time. If people wanted to screen this, like in their church on a Sunday after church or whatever, tell me a little bit about the appropriateness of the audience. Because there's going to be a lot of people listening to this going, okay, if I say I'm going to show this for my Sunday school group, or I'm going to show this for my, you know, the moms that go to my public school or whatever, what age are you shooting for? Who's your target audience?
Oh, it has to be over 18. Because I'm reading from these books and they've, you know, in some parts of the film, and it is absolutely inappropriate for children.
Yeah.
So definitely adults. And I would tell them in advance, you're going to hear things that are uncomfortable, but that's the whole point.
That's the point. Yeah. Yeah. You mean, we don't want to hear it, but we'll send our kids to the front line of the culture war and they'll get to hear it. Unbelievable.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's absolutely
Incredible. They can screen this anywhere. If they want me to, you know, zoom in and talk to people before or after the film, I'm making myself available to, you know, to fight in this fight.
You went down to New York City, I saw, and you're interviewing people in Times Square. What was that like? I mean, what was that like?
Funny story about that. So the day before I was in Boston interviewing my pastor and his wife, and talking to them about this stuff. And at the end of the interview, and it was the very first interview I've ever done in my life. And I said, how'd I do? Cause I know them pretty well. And he goes, you did great. He goes, but you know, you were, when you had to talk about what's in the books, your voice cracked a little, you seemed uncomfortable. And I was like, yeah, well, it is. The next day I'm in New York walking around the street, just on camera, interviewing strangers and showing them this material. And by the end of the day, I was perfectly comfortable. And that's what I mean when I say it was like, I got groomed to be comfortable with this material.
Yep.
So it was really hard walking up to strangers on the street. Mm-hmm. I mean, I am a middle-aged woman. I look conservative, you know, like some people were like, you know, all the blue hairs wouldn't even come near me with a 10-foot pole. It was hard walking up and saying, can I ask you a couple questions? But I got used to it. And then I did it a couple days later. We were in D.C. and I did it at the Lincoln Memorial and in front of the White House and did it again.
And what kind of questions are you asking people? So you're going up to, because I saw you have your American Groomer shirt on, right? You're wearing a T-shirt that says American Groomer. How do you get random strangers to talk to you about this rated X curriculum that's in our schools?
Just say to them, hey, I'm going to show you some materials that are in American middle schools and just want to know what you think about it. and just put it in their face.
And what was your, what was the response? Like, generally speaking, did you have anybody go, I think that's fine?
Most people were appalled and said, you know, oh yeah, that doesn't even, you know, oh gosh, yeah, that seems like a little much for kids.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There was one woman who, when I was showing her the instructions on how to perform anal masturbation, she's like, well, you know, if they don't learn it in school, where are they going to learn it?
Where are they going to learn it?
And I had to remain, you know, cool. And I just said, well, you know, how do you think teachers and librarians would feel about teaching children anal masturbation? And she was like, oh, yeah, you know, that could be tricky, or whatever word she used. Yeah, that could get weird. Yes, of course it could get weird, because it's pedophilia for an adult to be right. talking to a child about this stuff. It's grooming. It's yeah. non-contact sexual abuse, which leads to contact sexual abuse. So that was really interesting. But, you know, when I was in DC, I came across more people from other countries. And there was this whole throng of people from Colombia. I forget what they were here for. It was some kind of a, you know, a meeting, right, whatever, at the White House. And they were appalled, because in other countries, they still are interested in protecting their children. And yep. it's still just the common sense still prevails.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing to me. And I hope there's more and more people that wake up and start saying, this is our fight. If you guys are breathing in 2024, you should care about this issue. You should care about what's happening to our children. You should care about what's going on in the government schools. It should burn you up that the American Library Association is pushing agendas other than just like, hey, we got some great books in our library. I mean, these guys are the bathrooms, Elena, in the American Library Association's charter. If you go to their website, you can just read what they think about bathroom spaces. I don't go to our local libraries anymore because they're not safe places for children, because they will allow any transgender individual for any reason to go into whatever bathroom he or she identifies with. And these are places where children can absolutely be injured. And the American Library Association is like, eh, who cares, right? Okay, well, then I'm done with you. I'm just done. And we need to start, you know, putting our money where our mouth is. And that's exactly what you have done. And just putting yourself out there, it takes tremendous courage. And I applaud what you are doing. And I say thank you so much for getting off the bench and onto the battlefield. If people want to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
They can go to AmericanGroomerFilm.com, and there you can find an email address for me, and you can also find links to my Instagram and Twitter and TikTok, where you can send me a message there also.
Elena Barbera, thank you so much for what you're doing, for being a voice for our children. We are called to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, and these kids can't speak for themselves. Other people are speaking for them, and they're doing tremendous harm. So thank you for standing in the gap. I'm going to do my level best, girl, to get this film to President Trump. I'll keep you posted. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Heidi.
For more information on today's guest, go to HeidiSaintJohn.com/podcast, scroll down to the show notes, and I'll link back to Hanna-Barbera in the show notes today. I want to encourage you, as she did, you guys check out what she is doing, AmericanGroomerFilm.com. Talk to your pastors, talk to your friends, talk to your governor. Send the link to President Trump, you guys. He's just a person. Send a link to him and say, this is important. Please, please, please care about our kids. You know what? The men and women in leadership positions are not going to listen to you until they realize you care enough to make some noise. So check it out, AmericanGroomerFilm.com. And I hope you guys will host a screening at your neighborhood association, in your churches, in your local schools. And let's wake people up to what's happening to our kids. I want to thank my guest today. And for those of you who have been involved in this fight for a long time with me, keep at it. Stay on the battlefield. We appreciate what you guys are doing. Thank you so much for listening. And I'll see you right back here again at the intersection of faith and culture.